Yeah, I'm Charles.
Charles.
Hi, Charles.
We're glad to be here. Thanks, George. Thanks, Santa Barbara. Excellent. Thank you for hosting such an amazing thing as a speaker meeting. So what I like to do to kind of mellow out is I like to play a little music. And what I'd like to request is that rather than like clapping, take that applause and give it to yourselves. Of anything except being well hidden. So I'm a good hider, loved hide and seek. I love jumping rope, playing on the jungle gym, kickball. Good at all of them. I can still run my ass off. That's good fun. Just run for the hell of it. So, I'm so appreciative of all those who came before and really grateful for the promises. Because it doesn't really give me something to aspire towards, but things to acknowledge that I ought to have gotten like when I was like growing up. So my only wish today in my life is to be seen, heard, and felt. And that to me is kind of an encapsulation of what the promises provide for me. And so I was thinking maybe I would incorporate the promises into what I have to say. I'll watch the time. So, I am discovering my real identity, by learning to love and accept myself. And perhaps the single most difficult thing, quality, attribute, act, is to love myself. And I think, I'll probably say I think a lot. I don't, that has something to do with trauma, I don't know. I say I think. So, but I won't say the other thing.
Squeak.
Ooh. Thunk, thunk. It's hitting. Okay, there. Okay.
We are shine.
Okay. So, learning about self-acceptance, self-love, and self-befriendment, those are integral in learning to be seen, heard, and felt. Because I think being kind of love deprived as a result of my dad's alcoholism and his inability to love himself or his children created a rather love-deprived environment. Feels like I'm talking in slow motion. Are they releasing gas in the room? Okay, I'm not that pensive. I can tell I'm standing on the cord though. Isn't that trippy? I'm like a total, like when I got here, I was going, hey, wow, who are all those people over there? Because they were all in there and they were very quiet, and it was like, hey, that's our space. And then I realized that, oh, we're in here, so that's okay. But you know, I'm kind of spatially very kind of like, you know, aware, very aware. I feel the air. I always sit where I can like see the door. Even though I was sitting kind of by a window, so someone could have stuck their hand in that tiny little louvered window and grabbed me, but they didn't. Seeing as how it is Halloween. So finding love, I found that here. I found it with my partner. We actually met in Survivors of Incest Anonymous. I wouldn't recommend it like as a dating site. but we met there anyway. And we've been together for 22 years. That's a long-ass time to be anywhere. In a relationship, oh yeah. So kudos to us. That's pretty amazing. We have definitely grown up in recovery. I would say the 12-step way kind of raised us, you know, like our, like the 12-step way has a way of firmly but gently but kindly, lovingly kind of helping us to grow up, and I'm grateful for that. Anyway, if I keep running at this pace, I'll be done by 9:30. Speed it up. Thank you. Okay. Our self-esteem will increase as we get ourselves approved on a daily basis. Well, I was raised virtually esteemless, so I think being able to run fast and play kickball and enjoy recess, I kind of wish there was, maybe there is now, like a program, like a degree program, like recess something. I mean, I'm sure they have like play therapy or some crazy, you know, like, so maybe I ought to have gone in that direction, but instead I just enjoyed recess most of my life, and here I am nearly freaking 57. Waiting for the bell to ring. I think the bell might be broken. So be it. I think I'm learning to esteem myself by being appreciative of the fact that I have tenacity. I'm learning patience, tolerance, and acceptance, and to be seen, heard, and felt means that I need to learn talking, trusting, feeling, and they just seem to meld together nicely. And when we had our aquatic meeting, it was like a real, it was just like, I don't know, we decided to do it and we did it. And sometimes learning how to play and have fun, oh yes, that's here too, is like painful, even though I'm a recess aficionado. Learning how to play and have fun, being in an adult body, learning how to play and have fun, I just kind of have to get myself there, you know. And once I'm there, it's like yeah, this is pretty nice. My bike hangs in a hook in the garage, and that's where it is. It's very lonely. Calls to me, Charles, write me. Charles, hello, I'm in the garage in the dark. Write me. And so, progress, not perfection. We actually did a bicycle ride in Ojai. We had 20-some enthusiastic people sign up, and we had 3 show up. Yeah, bike ride, yeah, let's bike ride. Where's everybody? So, but the 3 of us had a hoot. It was a good time. And I think that's kind of the way ACA is, you know, provide this space and invite people in, and invariably people do come and enjoy. And if your authority figures and need people, please will leave us. Please hurry. Yeah, still waiting. Yeah. I'm still working on that one. I won't say anything nasty about authority figures. I'll keep it to myself. See me after the meeting. Our ability to share intimacy will grow inside us. I think that, to me, is that is ACA recovery encapsulated, I think, because to share intimacy, the ability to share intimacy, to have that like innate, you know, I kind of, God, I'm not talking much about my childhood, am I? It sucked. don't think I need to elaborate. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom was a co-alcoholic. I have 5 brothers. I was born in Johnson City, Tennessee on December 12, 1958. We moved to California in 1962. We came here by train from Santa Barbara in 1964. We flew to Hawaii. Thank God they had airplanes. And I pretty much grew up in Hawaii. Graduated high school, joined the Army right after high school when I was 17 years old. Was in the Army, active duty 3 years, 4 months, in active reserves 2 years, 8 months. So that's in a nutshell. So the intimacy thing is, you know, to be my own best friend, I think that I was afraid to allow that because I was afraid I wasn't enough. I was too stunted. I'd never make a very good grown up. You know, all of these judgments I had. I always compared myself to the better thans, and I think when my mom, an important part of my story is that when my mom started getting some Al-Anon, She actually got up the gumption and the courage to kick my dad's ass out. And that happened when I was maybe around 11-ish, 12-ish. That was very fucking painful. And, but it was one of the best things that could have happened for my brothers, my mom, because my dad sadly kept drinking and ended up back in his childhood home, living with his mother, to the point of alcoholic, just DTs and just total self-destruct. So being a child of the bomb shelter, to have any capacity for any intimacy is nothing less than miraculous, as I can see it. So that's an ongoing thing. As we face our abandonment issues, we'd be attracted by strengths and become more tolerant of weaknesses. Yeah. Sure, if you say so. Thank God for gummy worms. I finally have good enough teeth to eat those things. Yeah, thank God. Phew. Thank God for dental work. One of the scariest things on earth, but oh well. Fix your teeth or be toothless. That has to do with number five, oh well. We will enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. Stable? Does that have to do with horses? peaceful? Okay. Financially secure? I was raised on food stamps, general assistance, funny money. $5 bill kind of looked like a $5 bill on the front. It actually had Lincoln on the front, but it was the wrong color ink and there wasn't anything on the back, so it was kind of like, I don't know. But I always felt kind of shitty. I always felt like innate shame when I had to go in the store and use this currency to buy food, the things we needed. That's painful. Feeling is healing. I developed what I consider the spell of the stone heart, so I cast that spell on myself. I don't know when, but I did. Just spell the stone heart. And then my journey in recovery, it took me to a place, and I was like, I didn't know where I was going, but I knew I wasn't lost, and I knew that something was drawing me forward, and it was like, and when I came around the corner of this place in myself, the spell of the stone heart was broken, just like that. It was like that. A great spirit works. I kept walking, and the spell of the stone heart was gone. What a relief, yeah? That was like, choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. That's pretty scary business to define that, not think about it, but define that, to let God randomly massage my heart, just like, you know, randomly. It's like I trust that my higher power knows absolutely what's best for me, and so it's like just learning to be a nice guy. I think that at very least opens me up to drawing people to me who are learning self-love, that we as a collective get to feel like that deep heartfelt grief that feels like it's gonna like kill me because it's so deep and so sad. But then people help me to keep walking and to just feel it, you know? Because it's without feeling grief, it can't dissipate. And I felt grief from mostly for really not having a dad, that alcoholism took him away, swept him away. So he's somewhere, hopefully being treated with kindness, love, compassion. That he wasn't a bad man, that he was just a very sick man. Yeah. I grew up in a land of boundarylessness, so for me to be a person of integrity is that's really important to me, and I am trustworthy and I'm damn punctual. If I'm a minute late, you will hear from me. Sorry I'm late. It's only been 60 seconds there, Chief. All right. I like the last part of 10, intuitively making healthier choices. The intuition that comes from innocence, that comes from that innate openness that was not taken from me, but that I hid very well from they who sought to take it from me. So I didn't lose my innocence, I hid it. And that is crucial, because, you know, innocence is, to me, it's innate and it's essential. And intuition comes from that, the ability to intuit and to make healthy choices. That, I think, is crucial. And of course, 11, which is connected to 4, which is, with the help from my ACA support group, I am slowly releasing my dysfunctional behaviors. And that, I think that's the rest of my life, is having the capacity to see dysfunction for what it is, as an attempt to function without tools or direction. And to me, that's all dysfunction is. It's just directionless behavior. It's that which leads nowhere. And my nose sure got snotty. Thanks God for a snot machine. Yeah. Whew. Better out than in. Whew. Yeah. Much better. Oh. Shoo. So how long do we go till? Those people next door sure were singing nice. That was like really mellow, you know. They were like, I mean, that was like, wow. That was like, that's probably how they sing in heaven. If there is a heaven. Yikes. You're scaring me now, man. Anyway, it was very nice singing. So what have I got to lose? Releasing dysfunctional behavior. What have I got to lose? Promises? What? Promises? What? Yeah, you heard me. Having the capacity to function healthily and well, that's, I think, the only guidance I sought as a child. Teach me how to be. Teach me how to live. Teach me how to love. Teach me how to be respectful. Teach me how to have integrity. Teach me how to have goals. Teach me how to intuit and trust it. Teach me how to be a whole and integrated human being. So, my childhood is with me, always. And I'm grateful for it. And with my higher power's help, learning to expect the best and getting it, it's like, that's not appliances. It's not a car. It's not a phone. It's not an object. It's having my needs met based on my willingness to receive the best spiritual and emotional energy available to me, that I draw those people to me. And so you all are, you know. I mean, that you all are a manifestation of my willingness, and, you know, having the capacity to heal and grow along spiritual lines, to have a heart that feels, and to have a spirit that looks towards a higher power, that you know, financial things, relational things, automotive things, all of these things that occur, it's like they're occurring to everybody. It's like, I think one of my greatest epiphanies was, I'm just like everybody else. I mean, it's like, how high up the damn mountain did I have to go for that one? You're just like everybody else. Cripe. But that's innate humility. that's what helps me to just be a part of and not apart from. So perhaps then, have I told much of my story? It was very Reader's Digest. That was brief. But I'm glad that I had the insight to focus on the promises, and for me to carry the promise message. Oh, I went to my first ACA meeting. It was a Friday night, September 6, 1986. And I remember it was a Friday night because my then girlfriend drove me in her red Ford Maverick. What that had to do with it, I don't know. But she was so hell-bent on getting me in recovery that she drove me to my first meeting. Thanks, codependency. So, so to all the untreated codes in the world, thank you so much. You make my life directional and give me purpose. Yeah. So anyway, is that it time-wise? Pretty close? Yeah, all right. I wanted to just like close, play again, and then if you want to clap this time, you can clap for me. How about that?